We're doing a mini episode of Strangeful Things.
Yes.
This is Jen. I am here with Binov.
Woo-hoo!
And part of the reason that I picked the subject which I picked for today, which I will tell you in a minute, is that Acadia had the idea of making the calling these like story time because they're little short episodes. So one of my favorite things, favorite facts, is that the Disney versions of fairy tales that we know are not at all the original version of the real fairy tales. So yeah. I have talked about this before on some episode of the podcast, who knows, or I don't even know which podcast, as it relates to The Little Mermaid, because that's one of my favorites because it was so super popular when we were younger, and I always used to ruin everyone's time by telling them, well, this is what really happens in the real Little Mermaid, and they'd be like, shut up, you're ruining
right.
it.
But, well, I remember telling a story about, I think it was on Waiting for the Train, on how I accidentally read Caroline, the real version of The Three Little Pigs.
Oh, yeah. That's a good...
I remember telling that, and that was pretty horrific for both of us.
You're like, wait a second. This yeah. is upsetting.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those nights where it's like, she wanted to hear the story, and I couldn't remember it word for word off the top of my head, so I was right. like, okay, how about I look it up? And
right.
she was like, yeah, Mommy, look it up on your phone! And I was like, okay, who's gonna win Mom of the Year award? Yeah, I am! And then it all went downhill from there, because I pulled it up on my phone, and it was like... the, you know, our version yep. of The Three Little Pigs.
Yep.
Like, they did not survive.
No, no, it did not turn out well for the pigs.
No, it did not at all. So, I didn't even know. I mean, I knew that a lot of the stories that we hear as kids, you know, some of them come from... you know, things that have actually happened in life
right.
and they're not as rosy and happy as we all think they are.
Right.
Like, I think like a lot of the Hans Christian Andersen
yep.
stories
yep.
and things like that. But I guess I had never actually looked into what the real stories were
right.
until the Three Little Pigs fell into my lap. And
until
I was like,
incident.
Oh my God, the horror.
the Three Little Pigs incident, we'll call it.
Yes, yes, it will forever be known as that.
All right, so, well, and I think part of the reason that fairy tales originally were, like, darker and scarier is because it was, like, a darker, scarier time, you know, like, kids, your family would have five kids and, like, one of them would live to adulthood. Like, there was like bad shit going down, you know, like,
oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, exactly. Like they weren't trying to like hide reality from
right,
kids back then because
right.
it was like right in their face.
Right. It was like, yeah, I remember when your sister got eaten by that wolf. Yeah. This is like that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Like that shit probably really happened. They're like, yeah, that giant and the beanstalk. Yeah.
He crushed your brother.
Other, you know, yeah. Ask your brother about what really happened.
Oh, God. All right. So first we're going to start with The Little Mermaid, which is, in fact, by Hans Christian Andersen.
Boom.
Boom. Just like that.
I'm like,
so,
I know. And I'm not even prepped on this.
I know. Look at you.
And I guessed it.
You're amazing.
I know. God. I amaze myself sometimes.
Okay. So in the original version, The Little Mermaid... dwells in an underwater kingdom with her widowed father, which is known as the Sea King or the Mer King, her dowager grandmother, and her five older sisters, each of whom had been born 1 year apart. So when a mermaid turns 15, she's permitted to swim to the surface for the first time to glimpse the world above. And so when each sister gets old enough, she swims up to the top, views the world, comes back down, you know, tells everybody these fabulous stories of the amazing world inhabited by humans, and everybody's amazed. So when the Little Mermaid's turn comes, she goes up to the surface, and she sees a birthday celebration being held on a ship in honor of a handsome prince. And she falls in love with him from a safe distance.
Oh, of course she does.
Of course she does. Okay.
Yeah.
So, a violent storm takes place, and the boat sinks. The Little Mermaid saves the prince from drowning. She delivers him unconscious to the shore near a temple. And then she waits and watches until she makes sure that a young woman from the temple and her ladies-in-waiting find him. To her dismay, the prince never sees her, the Little Mermaid, or realizes that it was she who had saved his life.
Now so, she's all pissed off.
Now she's pissed off. She obviously goes back down, you know, under the sea. She becomes melancholy and sad, and she asks her grandmother if humans can live forever. The grandmother explains that humans have a much shorter lifespan than a mermaid's natural 300 years. Okay, sucks to be a mermaid. Right. But that when mermaids die, they turn to sea foam and cease to exist, while humans have an eternal soul that lives on in heaven. So, again, sucks to be a mermaid, right?
Right.
It's like, hey, you live for 300 years in the ocean, and then you just become some foam. Sorry.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid, longing for the prince and an eternal soul, visits the sea witch in a dangerous part of the ocean. The witch.
This doesn't sound like a good idea at all.
No, it doesn't. Also, you're making a lot of racket. I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you hear me?
Yes.
Are we
yes.
still recording?
Yes.
Okay, well, I should probably explain what I was doing to all
doing?
Of our listeners.
Okay,
real
go ahead.
Quick, real quick. So, C-Nev has been gone.
Yes.
For 4 days now. She comes back tomorrow.
Yes.
So, this whole time, I have been eating horribly.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Nothing that I normally eat. Like, normally I cook every night. Like, those of you who follow me, which is hopefully none of you, know that I cook every night.
Right.
And I'm really into cooking and stuff like that. But this has kind of been like vacation. So
right.
when you're on vacation, you know, you don't want to cook.
Right.
So you're like, you know, ordering pizza and like Buffalo Wild Wings and like all this other crap.
Right.
Well, so I had to go to the grocery store today and I went into the frozen food section and I saw this Stouffer's meal that I haven't had in probably like 20 years.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, I have to have it. And if you've never had it before, it's the most amazing thing ever. It's called Grandma's Chicken and Vegetable Rice Bake.
Wow.
And it's basically like a casserole that is probably made with like creamy chicken soup. You know, I mean, it's probably something you can very easily like make yourself. It's
right.
basically like cube chicken and vegetables and like a creamy broth, and then it's got like this crust on the top.
Right.
So it had been cooking for an hour now,
right?
And I had to turn off the alarm so that you guys didn't hear it because I didn't want to disrupt the show,
right?
And then I had to uncover it and put it back in for another half an hour.
So that's what's going on, folks.
Yeah, so I was trying to be sly. Obviously, I am not. Long story short, it's Grandma's Chicken and Vegetable Rice Bake, and I hope you understand.
We do.
Because it's amazing.
We do.
Okay,
we do.
Sorry.
Now we understand.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
So, the Little Mermaid is sad. She loves the prince, and she wants an eternal soul. So she goes to visit the sea witch in a dangerous part of the ocean. The witch willingly helps her by selling her a potion that gives her legs in exchange for her tongue and beautiful voice. And she warns her that once she becomes a human, she will never be able to return to the sea. Did you have a question?
No, I was just saying, these all sound like horrible ideas.
I know, right? Like,
yeah.
You're going to end up on land, you can't talk,
mm-hmm.
apparently, and then you're just going to be like, hi, I'm a naked former mermaid who can't talk, look at me.
Right, and so this is the Disney version right now, correct?
No, this is the real version. We're not getting to the really disturbing stuff yet.
Oh, okay.
So, although we do, there is the I mean, the Disney version doesn't, I don't think, includes that she doesn't have a soul or that mermaids live for 300 years. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it doesn't get into all that. Yeah. It just kind of, like, they make, like, weird, like, shapes and stuff like that. You don't really know what that is as a kid, but you're like, oh, okay, you know, that's not good or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I just was making sure that this was the,
this
know,
is the real version. This is the real version.
This is the real version.
Yes. So, okay. So she warns her that she won't be able to return to the sea if she becomes human. Consuming the potion will make her feel as if a sword is being passed through her body. Yet, when she recovers, she will have two human legs and will be able to dance like no human has ever danced before. However, she will constantly feel as if she is walking on sharp knives.
This sounds awful.
It sounds pretty terrible.
Like, let's just have a little side note to all of our young female viewers.
Yes.
That this is way far to go for a man that you've only seen.
Correct. Yes.
And never actually, like, really, like, met.
Correct.
So let's just calm down.
Let's rein it in. Let's rein it in.
And not go from, you know, 0 to 100 real quick like that. Because you don't want to just be like, dude, I saw this guy at the mall. Now I'm going to go visit with the sea witch. I mean, who the hell does that?
It's very dramatic. It's very dramatic. Yeah. I mean, she's 15, but, you know, rein it in, gals. Slow your roll. It's okay.
Yeah, we're not approving of this anyway.
No.
Do not try this at home, kids. Don't try to sue us because you saw some dude at the Chuck E. Cheese and now you're meeting up with Sea Witch because you won't listen to the show. Like,
we officially
do not
recommend
this.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Okay, so in addition, she will only obtain a soul if she wins the love of the prince and marries him, because then a part of his soul will flow into her. Otherwise, at dawn, on the first day after he marries someone else, the Little Mermaid will die of a broken heart and dissolve into sea foam on the waves.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So this,
like,
is,
seriously?
This is quite a deal she's striking here.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds miserable. Like, she didn't even ask, like, for her lawyer or, like, let's, like,
she didn't have anyone else.
Terms
no.
A little closer.
No, she didn't. She was like, this sounds great. All right.
Yeah.
So after she agrees to the arrangement, because obviously who wouldn't, right?
Right.
The Little Mermaid swims to the surface near the prince's palace and drinks the potion. She is found by the prince, who is mesmerized by her beauty and grace, even though she is considered dumb and mute by everyone in the kingdom, because she can't fucking talk.
Jesus. Yeah.
Most of all, he likes to see her dance, and she dances for him despite suffering excruciating pain with every step, because don't forget that part.
Right.
So she can dance great, can't talk, every step is excruciatingly painful. Okay, seems valid.
This is, like, extreme misogyny going on here in this little story.
It absolutely is. Soon, the Little Mermaid becomes the prince's favorite companion and accompanies him on many of his outings. When the prince's parents encourage their son to marry the neighboring princess in an arranged marriage, the prince tells the Little Mermaid he will not because he does not love the princess. He goes on to say he can only love the young woman from the temple who he believes rescued him. And of course, the mermaid can't tell him that she didn't because she has no fucking voice.
Right.
So,
and she obviously doesn't, she can't write either because she's been living in the sea.
Because she's a mermaid and I guess they don't
use
words. Okay.
Yeah.
So it turns out that the princess his parents want him to marry is the one who rescued him at the temple. So when he finds out, he's a little happy and he wants to marry her.
Oh.
So.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. The prince and princess celebrate their new marriage on a wedding ship, and the Little Mermaid's heart breaks. She thinks of all that she has sacrificed and of all the pain she has endured for the prince. She despairs, thinking of the death that awaits her. But before dawn, her sisters rise out of the water and bring her a knife that the sea witch has given them in exchange for their long, beautiful hair. So again, so now this is her five sisters cutting off their hair to give their sister this knife from the fucking sea witch.
Jesus. Okay.
If the Little Mermaid kills the prince and lets his blood drip on her feet, she will become a mermaid once more. All of her suffering will end, and she will live out her full life in the ocean with her family.
This is complete psycho behavior. Again, right. We do not
condone any of
we're
this.
We're not condoning this story whatsoever.
So,
like, it's no wonder that, like, people go nuts
right.
in relationships.
Right.
This is the stories we grew up with.
Right. Right.
Oh, he doesn't love you? That's okay. Just kill him and go back to your family. It's fine. Right. Totally cool.
However, the Little Mermaid cannot bring herself to kill the sleeping prince lying with his new bride. And she throws the knife and herself off the ship into the water just as dawn breaks. Her body dissolves into foam. But instead of ceasing to exist, she feels the warm sun and discovers that she has turned into a luminous and ethereal earthbound spirit, a daughter of the air. As the Little Mermaid ascends into the atmosphere, she is greeted by other daughters who tell her she has become like them because she strove with all her heart to obtain an immortal soul. Because of her selflessness, she will be given the chance to earn her new soul, her own soul, by doing good deeds to mankind for 300 years, and then she can go to heaven. The end.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean,
I don't even know what to say.
I know. It's like, dear women, do everything for some random guy while the guy obliviously falls in love with the person who didn't do the thing he thinks she did and then just treats you like a little pet and says, oh, you're my favorite companion. And then, you know, consider stabbing him to death, but don't, and then suffer for 300 years, and then maybe you get a soul at the end.
Welcome. Welcome to being a woman.
Exactly. Basically. Fantastic.
I mean, how many people have we all known that has been in love with some dude, that is in love with some other chick that sucks?
Yep.
True. You know, I mean, this story happens every day.
Yep.
But I blame Hans Christian Andersen.
I do too. It's his fault, clearly.
It is totally his fault.
It is.
God damn it. Bullshit is what it is.
It is a bunch of bullshit.
It is a bunch of bullshit. And then it just makes me like, and now I'm just like thinking about all the other stories that are out there that I'm just like, God, those are such bullshit too.
Exactly.
It's all about us like having to go through all this shit to deal with some douchebag,
right?
Who can't be bothered, too oblivious to know what's really going on, anyways,
right?
So I guess it is pretty realistic.
Yeah. Again, we do not condone making deals with sea witches or stabbing people or cutting off your hair or giving up your voice.
No,
none of these things are condoned.
None of these things. Don't trade your fins in for legs.
Nope.
Which is probably some, weird, I don't know, that's probably some meaning symbolism for something else because the pains and her legs and all this other shit. I mean, who knows what the hell's going on here.
Right.
These stories.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we have, I think we have time, if I go quickly, to do one more.
Yes.
Which will be Sleeping Beauty, which is by the Brothers Grimm.
Yes.
Okay, so.
The Disney version is one of my favorite stories.
Oh, mine too. Oh my God, it's like one of the stories I learned to read first when I was little. I remember being so proud of myself when I could turn the pages and read the words on the page and show it to my parents. So yes,
right.
I was a big fan of this. So, at the christening of a king and queen's long-wished-for child, 7 good fairies are invited to be godmothers of the infant princess. The fairies attend the banquet at the palace. Each fairy is presented with a golden plate and drinking cups adorned with jewels. Soon after, an old fairy, who apparently is also an evil fairy, I guess, as we find out,
right,
enters the palace and is seated with a plate of fine china and a crystal drinking glass. The old fairy is overlooked because she has been within a tower for many years and everyone had believed her to be deceased. 6 of the other 7 good fairies, offer their gifts of beauty, wit, grace, dance, song, and goodness to the infant princess. The old fairy is very angry about having been forgotten, and as her gift, she enchants the infant princess so that she will one day prick her finger on a spindle of a spinning wheel and die. The seventh fairy, who hasn't yet given her gift, attempts to reverse the evil fairy's curse. However, she can only do it partially. Instead of dying, the princess will fall into a deep sleep for 100 years and be awakened by a kiss from a king's son. So far, that's kind of similar to the Disney one, but I don't think there were so many fairies.
No, there were only three good fairies and one. They didn't consider the other person a fairy. Yeah, I don't know what they called her.
I don't know either. She was like the evil queen or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, she was like the evil queen.
Yeah. All right. So as a result, the king orders every spindle and spinning wheel to be destroyed to try and save his daughter. 15 or 16 years pass, and one day, when the king and queen are away, the princess wanders through the palace rooms and comes upon an old woman spinning with her spindle, who is, of course, obviously the evil fairy, right? The princess, who has never seen anyone spin before, asks the old woman if she can try the spinning wheel. The curse is fulfilled as the princess pricks her finger on the spindle and instantly falls into a deep sleep. It says the old woman cries for help and attempts are made to revive the princess. The king attributes this to fate and has the princess carried to the finest room in the palace and placed upon a bed of gold and silver embroidered fabric. That's weird. I thought it was the evil princess or the evil fairy, but it doesn't sound like it is.
Yeah, I'm confused too. Well, and then they skipped the whole part from the Disney version, which is where she goes to live with the fairies, the good fairies, until
she's
going to be married.
Right. Yes. So Disney added some extra stuff here. So they lock her up in this room. The king and queen kiss her goodbye, and the good fairy who had altered the prophecy is summoned. She foresees, like, because she's magical, that the princess will awaken to distress when she finds herself alone. So the fairy puts everyone in the castle to sleep so that they will all actually still be alive when the princess wakes up. They'll all wake up at the same time, right? So that she's not by herself.
Thank goodness, because it's going to be 100 years.
Right, like, it's going to be 100 years. So the fairy also summons a forest of trees, brambles, and thorns that spring up around the castle, shielding it from the outside world and preventing anyone from disturbing the princess. Of course, she puts everyone in the castle to sleep. So let's just think for a second. There's a kingdom with a king and queen and a castle. And I assume, you know, they're kind of the government. And then they just all go to sleep. The end.
Yeah.
Like, screw you, rest of the kingdom, I guess. Fun existing with no king and queen anymore. Whatevs.
Yeah.
All because an old fairy was mad. Okay.
Yeah, because she was mad because she didn't get remembered. She didn't get invite to the party.
Right, right.
That's basically what happened. Right. She didn't get an official invite to the party, so she's all pissed off.
Right.
And she's all old and bitter about life.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So 100 years pass, and a prince from another family spies the hidden castle during a hunting expedition. His attendants tell him differing stories about why it's like that. And then an old man recounts his father's words, that within the castle lies a beautiful princess who is doomed to sleep for 100 years until a king's son comes and awakens her. So the prince braves the tall trees, brambles, and thorns, which part at his approach, magically, it seems, and enters the castle. He passes the sleeping castle folk and comes to the chamber where the princess lies asleep on the bed. Struck by the radiant beauty before him, he falls on his knees, and the enchantment comes to an end when he kisses her and she awakens and converses with the prince for a long time. Meanwhile, the rest of the castle awakens to go about their business, apparently as if nothing happened. They're like, man, this place is really dusty. I don't know what happened.
Oh my God.
Okay, so this, most of that is pretty similar, but here's the second part. So the prince and princess are later married by the chaplain in the castle chapel.
Of course they are, because that's things are just that easy.
It's just like
boom, boom, boom.
Hey, I saw you. You're cute. I kissed you. Let's get married. Okay, we're now instantly married. Okay.
Yes.
After wedding the princess in secret, I'm not sure why in secret, the prince continues to visit her secretly, and she bears him 2 children, Aurora and Jor. Unbeknownst to the prince's mother, who is of an ogre lineage. So the prince's mother is an ogre? What? Apparently, yes. So when the time comes for the prince to ascend to the throne, he brings his wife, children, and he's like, hey, surprise, here's my wife and children. I'm going to be king now. The ogress queen mother sends the young queen and the children to a house secluded in the woods and directs her cook to prepare the boy child for dinner.
What?
Yes. She wants to eat her grandchildren now. So the kind-hearted cook substitutes a lamb for the boy, which satisfies the queen mother. She then demands the girl, but the cook this time substitutes a young goat, which also satisfies the queen mother. When the ogress demands that he serve up the young queen, the latter offers to slit her throat so that she may join the children that she imagines are dead. While the queen mother is satisfied with a hind prepared in place of the young queen, there is a tearful secret reunion of the queen and her children. However, the queen mother soon discovers the cook's trick, and she prepares a tub in the courtyard filled with vipers and other noxious creatures. The king returns in the nick of time, and the ogress, her true nature having been exposed, throws herself into the tub and is fully consumed. The king, queen, and children live happily ever after.
Oh my god.
What the actual fuck?
I can't even believe that that's a real story.
Isn't it insane? Wow.
That is so insane. At first I was like, now we're starting to sound like one of the Shrek
right? movies. Like, is this why the Shrek movie exists? It's so weird.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's...
Oh my gosh.
So it's like mostly normal, and then, oh, surprise, the prince's mother is an ogre and apparently doesn't like that he secretly got married and wants to eat the children.
Right.
What? And then throws herself into a pit of vipers at the end. So.
Like, and I'm just imagining, like, reading these stories to kids.
Right? Like, how can kids
see that? What's the lesson? What's the lesson here?
I know they're not like Aesop's Fables or whatever. There's no lesson.
Right.
I guess horrible shit happens. I don't know.
Well, maybe the lesson is don't like lie to your mom or something. I don't maybe. Know. There's got to be, I mean,
there
still,
must be something. Like, yeah.
I don't know. This whole thing is insane.
Yep. So I guess don't lie to your mom. Don't forget about old fairies.
Make sure you send out all your invites.
That's right. Don't forget anybody. Don't leave anybody off your invite list. You never know what might happen.
Oh my God.
So yeah, there's a couple of fun little stories for Strangeful Things listeners.
Wow. That was definitely strangeful.
It was quite strangeful. It was.
Ah. Oh my gosh. You can't even, I don't even know how we can top that.
I don't know either. We're going to have to try, but it's going to be a little hard.
Yeah.
So this episode will be out this week, which is just, it's Easter today. We recorded this on Easter Sunday.
Woohoo! Yeah, go yeah. Easter. Go we should have told some funny stories.
I know, that's true. Oh, I didn't think of that. That would have been good.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for our next full-length episode, which will be the first week in May. But in the meantime, there's going to be more little shorts like this to keep you interested. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/Acadia to give us money so we can keep making these shows at least break even instead of losing money.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not losing money. It's just Acadia. So, you know, what else?
Right. Yeah. We don't care that much.
But yeah. So, thanks for listening and, stay tuned.
Woohoo.